You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was delivered by the Reverend Wallace Schultz. We hope you enjoy his message titled, USSR, Men with Courage. Now here's Reverend Schultz.
If you think that times are rough for you and your family, then listen to this stunning report that one man wrote. Things are very bad, he said. We have no milk. And if one absolutely needs milk, one must have a doctor's prescription in order to obtain it in the cities. Butter, he said, is a food that once existed, but now many children have never seen it. Since there is no meat in the cities, sparrows, yes, that's what he wrote, sparrows are slaughtered and prepared so that the children at least have some flesh. When it rains and the cars run over the frogs on the highway, the people go out and get these smashed frogs to eat. These words describe the meager and even desperate situation which only recently existed in the Soviet Union, especially in the eastern part, in Siberia and Kazakhstan. Since 1988, conditions have improved, at least somewhat. For the past 70 years, due to a foolish philosophy that failed miserably, citizens in the communist-controlled Soviet Union have suffered physical deprivation. They have also suffered spiritually. All Christians, not just some, but all Christian groups, have experienced the cold and deathly grip of demonically inspired atheism and Marxist communism. During the past year, I've made several trips to the Soviet Union, and I must honestly say that one cannot but be greatly emotionally and spiritually moved after seeing how God has enabled His Christian church to survive, even under one of the most bloody and beast-like persecutions in the history of the world. At the turn of the last century, within Russia, or what is now the Soviet Union, there existed a group of Lutheran Christian churches, which operated many, many worship centers. These Lutheran Christians maintained 2,000 Christian day schools. That's correct. This Lutheran church in Russia, at the turn of the last century, operated over 2,000 Lutheran day schools, and these parochial schools were staffed by over 3,000 dedicated Lutheran teachers. And this large group of Christians, this Lutheran church, also operated numerous deaconess institutes and hospitals throughout what was then Russia and what is now a large part of the USSR. But then in 1917, disaster struck. In 1917, as a result of the Bolshevik Revolution, through godless deception, violence, bloodshed, and endless terror, the atheistic Marxists came to power, and the church was one of the first casualties. Initially, the government officials promised freedom of religion, but this was only a trick. The devilish deception of this promise was immediately obvious as the atheistic screws of communism were slowly tightened upon the churches. Houses of worship were soon closed, clergy were either harassed, driven out, or murdered, and all forms of Christian ministries were stopped. Let me explain. You see, the final blow for the near total destruction of the Lutheran Church in the Soviet Union came during World War II. And this was because, historically, a part of the Lutheran Church in the Soviet Union was a result of earlier Scandinavian colonization and missions. But the great majority of Lutheran Christianity was a direct product of German colonies. These German groups were invited into Russia by Catherine the Great and other leaders. But then, during World War II, when the two socialist dictators, Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin, went to war, the large Lutheran church in Russia, composed primarily of people with a German background, became an innocent casualty. And this all happened simply because of their heritage, and for no other reason. They met a horrible fate. Men and boys were conscripted into the military. The women and the children were placed into cold and windowless railroad cattle cars. They were then shipped into the most remote areas of Siberia and Kazakhstan. Needless to say, hundreds of thousands either starved or froze to death. The dead were often thrown down along the railroad tracks to be eaten by the hungry wolves. Bertha Bachmann, who now lives in Germany and who was involved in this fateful deportation, describes the situation in a recently published book called Memories of Kazakhstan. In one situation, she describes where the communist secret police had caught a young boy who was begging food by the railroad station. And as an example for all others, these communist police gathered all the people together. Then they unleashed huge hungry dogs, and these dogs tore at the helpless, hungry, and innocent boy, and he was soon dead. And so then, after this deportation and after the war, from what was once a thriving Lutheran church, there remained only 500 small groups, widely separated, in exile, all over Siberia and Kazakhstan. And now listen to this. These exiled groups of Christians were left without one trained clergyman to serve them. And that situation has continued to exist even unto our day. And so then one must ask the question, how did this church, with its clergy liquidated, with its Bibles and catechisms confiscated, and with constant threats of imprisonment hanging over the heads of all those who would dare assemble for worship, how could such a church endure? Or better, the question could be asked, how could such a fragile Christian fellowship survive for over half of a century without a pastor? There are two factors, and only two factors, responsible for the survival of the remnant Lutheran Church in Siberian exile. First, credit and glory must be given only and alone to the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. And if we are acquainted with the Holy Scriptures, we should not be surprised with this, because during his public ministry, Jesus repeatedly promised his followers that they would be strengthened and they would be sustained by his Spirit. In one situation, following the great confession of faith by the Apostle Peter, Jesus said, "Upon such a rock-like confession, I will build my church." And then the Savior immediately added, "And the gates of hell shall not overpower it." Oh, we can be absolutely sure, yes, we can be absolutely sure that this solid promise of Jesus sustained the suffering Siberian church. In another situation, Jesus stated his constant concern, his daily care, and his eternal commitment to his flock. "My sheep hear my voice," Jesus said, "and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." These statements are not mere momentary expressions of commitment made by a mortal. These words are promises from the very lips of the eternal God. And when Jesus says that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, this is also what he means emphatically. Yes, Jesus made such a bold statement, and you and I are also now reminded why he has the authority to do this, and why you and I have every reason to place our total trust in what he said. Our confidence in God is based squarely upon that supreme crucifixion contest, where the verdict, proclaiming Jesus as ruler both in heaven and on earth, was publicly proclaimed. As prophesied in the very first book of the Bible, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the devil bruised the Savior's heel. But that was only the beginning. The final, yes, the ultimate victory went forever to the blessed Redeemer, who on that Good Friday afternoon, when the rock split wide open, when he crushed the devil's head, and when Jesus said, "It is finished." Indeed, oh indeed, the battle was finished and the victory was won. And so now, when you and I place our complete faith and trust in the salvation power of the crucified and the resurrected Redeemer, we can do this with the blessed assurance that our gracious Redeemer stands ready at every hour to wrap his arms of love around us. Oh yes, my friend, our blessed Redeemer accepts us just as we are, with all of our sins and with all of our failures. But again, there is more. Oh yes, my friends, there is much, much more. Think again about the suffering church in Russia and in Siberia that we spoke about only a few moments ago. That church under the persecution and the cold death grip of atheistic Marxism, that church survived. And because this church survived one of the bloodiest persecutions in history, this is a powerful testimony that you also can have hope through faith in Christ. And so as the church under communism struggled, thousands, of course, died. They departed this life with the confession of Christ on their lips. These blessed martyrs are surely numbered among those saints described in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verses 10 through 11, and we read, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, how long wilt thou refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And then the Bible explains, "There was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer, until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who were to be killed even as they had been, should also be completed." These words from the book of Revelation are powerful. Today they are powerful, especially when they are most appropriately applied to the Church of Christ, which has suffered so long and so terribly. Knowing this also makes it exceedingly foolish for any doubter to say, "Oh, I would believe also if I could only see some of the miraculous acts of God, like those in the days of Jesus and the disciples." Oh, my friends, you don't need to look back 2,000 years to see the saving activity of God. Open your eyes, my friends. Open your eyes of faith and see what God has done in this century. Look how God has preserved His church, the Christian church in the communist-led Soviet Union, during one of the bloodiest onslaughts of all of time. God has done a mighty work in this century, and the whole world is now learning about it. And so then, my friend, when you by faith see this, then I can only urge you, as Jesus said to the Apostle Thomas, stop doubting. Yes, stop doubting and simply believe. Believe in God. For if the God of mercy can save His suffering church in remote Siberia, then God can surely save you also. The persecution of the Christian church in the Soviet Union is one of the most terrible chapters in history. However, even in this tragedy, God in His grace does what He always does. He uses even events such as this to display His glorious power and His grace to save those who believe. Oh, my friend, if your mind has never been impressed before by anything Christian or even religious, I pray that the story of the remnant church in the Soviet Union in Siberia would make an indelible impression on your mind. And I also pray that this traumatic story would also move your soul, that instead of always doubting, you will, with a simple faith, say in prayer to God, "I believe, O Lord, help thou mine unbelief." And so then, as you consider all the mighty acts of God so powerfully portrayed through recent history, don't simply rely upon these moving events alone to bring you closer to God. In His holy word, God says that true faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The faith of the suffering church in Siberia was originally created by the word of God. And even though the people had their Bibles taken away, and even though these same people were warned not to discuss the faith, they nevertheless clung to the sacred teachings, these teachings they had received through catechetical training through their youth. The living word planted a seed within them, and this same word preserved them in this faith. This same word of God can do the same thing for you. Cling then to the promises of the holy word of our Lord, found in the sacred scriptures, and place your faith in the living word. Yes, place your complete hope and your trust in the word manifested, Jesus the Christ. The Apostle John, in his revelation, spoke of this Savior Jesus when he said, "And He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God." Oh, my friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for your life, and believe in Jesus as your Savior from your sin. Trust in Jesus. By His Spirit, He has preserved His followers, even in the most remote areas of the world, even in Siberia. And this same Jesus then can also save you today, and He will save you from your sin forever, eternally.
We hope
hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.